Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I'm your host, Joe Uccello, and as always, joined tonight by my co-host, Roberto Rojas, as we break down Iran and their quest for 2018 World Cup glory. Tonight, joining us as the expert for Iranian football is Pasha Hajan, host of the Golbazan podcast. You can find them on Twitter at Golbazan and golbazan.com, and definitely check them out. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us tonight. Pasha, I want to start out with you quickly and ask you about your ties to Iranian football. And if anyone's gotten the chance to go and check out your website, the tie runs pretty deep, but I'd like you to give it to our listeners tonight.
Definitely appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure for me to spread some word about Iranian football. And basically, the first thing I want to say is that obviously Iran is a huge footballing country. It's one of the biggest teams in Asia. And it's been maybe I would say like 5 or 6 years by now that they've been number one in Asia. So I grew up overseas in Iran. Now I live in the States. Ever since I was in Iran, I grew up with a ball. Doesn't matter where you go in Iran, you know, the streets, the alleyways, school, wherever, everybody's playing the beautiful game. And I think my passion just started from there and, you know, playing in school and whatnot. So it's just people ask me, what's my religion? I tell you, my religion is football, you know, and I think that has to do with a lot of people within Iran, not even for supporting national team, but as opposed to the domestic league as well, the Iranian Persian Gulf League. So It's been part of my life throughout all this time, and so I decided to create a podcast called Golbazan to spread the word about Iranian football, because as you could imagine, because of the politics between the country and outside of the country, you know, there's so much good in this world, and unfortunately everybody just wants to talk about the bad. So what we're trying to do is trying to promote Iranian football, that there is actually it's given so much to this world in terms of footballing wise, and that's what we're trying to share. And it's just a pleasure for me to just share you about Iranian football and the history. So thank you.
You know, it's our pleasure to have someone like you, you know, to talk about this really, I think, successful but also a highly ranked country in Asia. I mean, I guess I'm looking into the history right now of the Iranian national team in World Cups. They've made it to the World Cup five times. This will be their fifth time in the World Cup, but they made it four times previously. But never passed advanced past the group stage, and their only win in the World Cup was, ironically, against the United States in that famous 2-1 victory in 1998. And I think, you know, by then, I think many people are really happy to make a World Cup. But I mean, for the case of Iran, you know, what do you think is the vibe now to make it to a second straight World Cup, especially, you know, given, you know, past failures and hoping to correct them this time around?
You know, it's huge. You know, the work that Carlos Queiroz has done, as you know, he was the, you know, assistant coach to Sir Alex Ferguson and Manchester United. You know, he was the national team manager of UAE, worked in Japan, even I believe in the Metro starts with USA. So his CV is vast, even the national head coach of Portugal, Real Madrid. And just to have his expertise, and, you know, he's been with us for 7 years, and many of them, and it's just facts that he's considered the greatest manager in Iran's history. And, you know, in a great footballing nation such as Iran, obviously it's so much joy, you know, when people ask you that, hey, Iran has made it, and it's just makes you blossom and just want to talk about it. I think what's interesting about Iranian football now is that when looking at Group B that Iran is, unfortunately we didn't get into the nice, but I would say the overall aspect of it is due to the political reasons with the sanctions on Iran from the West and, you know, the politics within Iran itself, that unfortunately I think this is actually a huge thing. For us to play against the likes of Spain and Portugal, because of funding and stuff like with all the politics, as I said, it's very hard for us to even get a friendly with these nations. So I think in terms of experience-wise, this is a huge benefit for us. And 50% of our players now play in Europe. One of our huge stars is either as a Jahan Bash. Arguably, a lot of people say he's the best player right now in the Eredivisie in the Dutch league. And, you know, he's doing phenomenal. And today, Arsenal played against Östersunds. One of our key players that Carlos Queiroz just recruited is Salomon Gudus. And, you know, hopefully he'll play more as a number 10 role. And so basically it's a mixture of Iranian players with, you know, local players. And what Carlos Queiroz is trying to do is trying to bring the level of the Iranian players within the country up. So now they're doing a lot of recovery training within the national team camp in Iran, obviously to, you know, benefit the likes of Spain and Portugal and Morocco. So I would say right now for Iranian fans, it's just an amazing experience, you know, to be part of the World Cup. But in terms of Group B, we're kind of upset that we didn't get the best of draw. But just to be part of this is always historical, as I like to say.
Absolutely. Now, I want to move forward to look at how they got here, how they qualified for the 2018 World Cup. They finished first in their group. I believe it was Group A in the final round of Asian qualifying.
Yes.
The only unbeaten side in World Cup qualifying in Asia, 12 wins, 6 draws. Right. Only conceded 5 goals in qualifying, so quite the defensive side. And they won Group A with the likes of South Korea in their group, as well as a really tough Syrian side who managed to fight them to 2 draws. What kind of experience can they take from a tough Asian qualifying round into Russia to help them advance their hopes?
You know, if you look at the team, the way of playing style we were playing the last World Cup was much more defensive to now. For this qualifier, obviously, you know, Carlos Queiroz now understands the culture on the back line. And with this qualifying round, what's interesting with Iran is that we played more of a pragmatic approach as opposed to more of a defensive style. But obviously, because of the nature of Carlos Queiroz, of how well he organizes the team, the stability of the players, the harmony between the players was a big reason why I would say that we advanced. And, you know, if you look at the likes of Korea Republic, Syria, Uzbekistan, China, if I'm not mistaken, and Qatar, that are part of this group. On paper, everybody says it was very easy for Iran to advance because of just the way it flowed for us. But I just really believe that it's just because of the style that Carlos Queiroz has implemented, the resilience, the passion, the hunger of these players. But now looking into Russia, the big difference now going to Russia, I think Carlos Queiroz has to change a lot of things, because these sides that we played, we could have played more of an open football game, as I like to say. But unfortunately, if you look at the likes of Spain and Portugal, Iran has to play a much, much more defensive approach, you know, as like some people like to call it, the parking the bus and playing counterattack style. And I think the big reason of that is obviously because they're going to have the more of a position style game. But if you look at the World Cup, last World Cup, when Iran plays Argentina, a lot of people were already riding off Iran before the match started. A lot of pundits, a lot of media experts said that Iran was going to get demolished 6-0, you know, 3-0. And, you know, as I realized, it took obviously Messi, as I like to say, the greatest player in the world, that took him the 94th minute to basically get him the 3 points. Mm-hmm. So I think because of that, I've spoken to a few expertise of, you know, Portugal and Morocco and Spain, and they're saying that they've been really reviewing Carlos Queiroz's attack and implemented, you know, because of a defensive approach. So I think going to this World Cup, the big issue that Carlos Queiroz has now is that he has to change everything that he was doing for Group A and trying to now be more defensive like he was, if that makes sense, because Iran was playing much of a pragmatic approach.
Sure. Now, I do want to ask you, in terms of, you know, negating the defensive qualities of Iran, I do want to talk about the experience in qualification that the two young strikers have picked up, and that's Sardar Azmoun and Mehdi Karmeh. Yeah. Obviously, both 23-year-old strikers, and I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit with the players to watch segment, but I want to talk about these two quickly because they're both 23-year-old strikers. One plays professionally at Rubin Kazan, the other one at Al Gharafa in Qatar. Azmoun scored 11 goals in World Cup qualifying. Taremi scored 8 goals in World Cup qualifying. This is where the firepower is for me in terms of, you know, my research that I found. What does the experience in qualification, how does it serve them? And especially when we look at Azmoun, when he looks at his professional career playing in Europe with Rubin Kazan and the other competitions that he may get into, like Champions League or Europa League.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. Right now, I would say that Taremi plays more of a left wing as opposed to a striker for Iran, but Azmoun has been lethal. This player, last season when he was playing for Rostov, he just made a name for himself. He scored against the likes of Bayern Munich and Atletico Madrid, and I think that's where it pretty much started. And he had offers from Everton and stuff like that, but because of the respect he has for his coach now, Berdov, that he took him to Russia from Iran, that's why he stayed with the team. I think it's huge. I would say it's fantastic experience, especially for age-wise. But the biggest issue right now we have with Iranian players is that obviously because of the culture, you know, a lot of them don't speak English, as I like to say, and, you know, obviously leaving the family and stuff like that, that they don't want to take the risk to go to Europe. And to have someone like Azmoun to do that was huge. And so he's basically been, as I like to say, a role model for future Iranian players, you know, such as Jahanbakhsh, which he's doing the same thing, to say that, hey, if you guys want to improve come to Europe. But what's interesting, you know, right now our two hottest strikers are actually not even Osmoun and Tarabini. It's actually right now Karim Ansar Efar, that he plays for Olympiakos. I believe he has right now the most goals for that team in Greece, and Kaveh Rezaei, another player that last summer a lot of people were shocked that he moved from Essaouira, the huge club in Iran, to Charleroi in Belgium. And they're both doing a fantastic job. So what now the issue that Carlos Queiroz has now, and he told me personally, is that he has a lot of quality players. So when it comes down to picking 23-man squad, he's going to allow to have issues because Osmoun right now is not in the best of shape in terms of form because of the formation Beredov plays. But you have the likes of Karim Ansarifad, you have Taremi, you have Kaveh Rezaei, you have Reza Gucenejad even, another striker of ours that he basically sealed our qualification in the last World Cup against South Korea. He plays for Heerenveen in the Dutch League. So he has a lot of options, I like to strike, but it's just more of the fact that now he's having issues to select his final squad.
I'm just going to jump in real quick and, of course, go into the nitty-gritty. I mean, you know, look at this whole group that Iran is in. I think, obviously, for many people here, they didn't expect such a group. You know, looking at the group real quick and going in order, they have to face their first match against Morocco on the 15th, mm-hmm. followed by Portugal on the 20th with Cristiano Ronaldo, and then followed by Spain on the 25th, the dominant favorite Spain, as always. I mean, you know, Pasha, I mean, I guess I'll ask you this. I mean, you know, I think many of us would expect Spain and Portugal to go through. But out of those two, which one do you think is the most important, probably the toughest game for this Iranian side? But if it's even if it's not them, is it Morocco? You know, do you feel that that could be just as an important and tough match than, say, a Portugal or a Spain? I mean, what are your thoughts about this group and the Iranians' chances?
If Iran wants to qualify to the next round, they have to beat Morocco. And I think it's actually a blessing that we have Morocco in the first game, in my eyes, you know, because if, for example, if Iran does beat Morocco and Spain and Portugal draw, that would give us a much, much better chance. And they have to treat the Morocco match as a, as I like to say, like a World Cup final or something. And I think that's the kind of a match that we'll see more of an Iran being more playing pragmatic, as how Carlos Kesh was setting up the team for the qualifiers. If we draw that, and obviously we have then the likes of, you know, Portugal and Spain, it's quite difficult, you know. So it really all comes down to Morocco. Now, what's interesting with the Moroccan side with Hervé Renard is that their defensive approach has been very similar to the way Iran has been playing. So the teams are very similar in the way they approach the team. But it's just going to come down to, you know, which team is going to be willing to be more open and more attacking, you know. And for me personally, I would say that it comes all down to that first match against Morocco, you know. And if you ask any Iranian right now, they would say they'll put their money that potentially Iran could beat it. Because in terms of like history, in terms of just like our experience right now with the team that we have. But it's such a quality Moroccan side with a lot of their players playing in Europe right now. Like Sub Hakim Ziyech, you know, Achram Hafib, so many other notable players they have. But it's just, for me, I would say that the first match is the decider for Iran.
Yeah, and I'll pose that same question to you, Joe. I mean, do you agree with Pasha in this one, or what do you view Iran's toughest group, game?
No, I do agree with Pasha in terms of the fact that Morocco is the most important match that they're going to face. It is imperative for them to get off on the right foot because if they're up 3 points, like Pasha just said, and they go into the Spain match or the Portugal match, maybe they catch them on an off day, maybe they steal a point. And then they actually move on, which would be, you know, given the difficult difficult group that they were giving in Group B, would be certainly an accomplishment for this team. You know, you're facing the reigning European champion, you're facing the 2010 World Cup champion, the 2008 European champion. You know, you're facing such tough sides here in this group that it's imperative that they get those 3 points. And like you said, you need to treat that Morocco match on June 15th as the match. It's the World Cup for them, and really to put their best foot forward to have any hope. I think losing that match is a disaster, you know, for them in general. But I think winning that match opens the doors for all the possibilities and all the hope of the Iranian people. You know, Pasha, I want to jump back in here now and talk about players to watch in this particular World Cup. We talked about Osmoun, we talked about Taremi, we talked about a few other players. And you mentioned that Osmoun has really become a role model for the other Iranian players because he kind of opens the gates to Europe for these other players where they can go and develop. One player I want to talk about with you is someone you just recently interviewed because I found his story to be very, very interesting, and that's Saman Goros. And if you get a chance to the listeners, go to goldbazan.com and listen to this interview because it was a wonderful interview. His story is that he was a Swedish-born player of Iranian descent and actually did the one-time flip, actually having played for Sweden. But he made the switch from Sweden to Iran, now on the Iranian national team, 24-year-old midfielder, plays currently at Östersund in Sweden. Would you consider him one of the players to watch in this World Cup, or is there somebody in this World Cup that that would intrigue you to say, hey, this is a guy that by the end of this World Cup, that's going to move into Europe and advance his career?
There's two players I'd like to mention. Let me just briefly talk about Saman Goros. Saman Goros, you know, obviously he's very Swedish. You know, he grew up in Sweden. He has ties to Iranian national roots. So he had a very hard time to decide between if he wants to play for Sweden national team and Iran. And I think what's interesting is that I think that's something that Carlos Queiroz, because of his way of, you know, motivating these players and, you know, basically giving a sales pitch, got this guy to, you know, play for Iran. And what he's done, even when he just recently played for us, is that he's already brought another playing style, as I like to say. So Queiroz has another approach, tactical-wise, that he could use Saman Goros. You know, even today, he was playing as a lone striker in a 4-3-3. In a false nine position, as I like to say. So basically, he has a lot of attacking maneuvers that he could use. Someone, he could play him on the left, he could put him as a 10, he could put him on the right, or he could play him as a false nine. I think that's huge, you know. And he had a lot of offers from Europe, especially in this silly season that just ended. Unfortunately, he didn't want to take it because he knew that better offers are probably going to come in the summer. And, you know, he's definitely someone to watch. I think that a lot of people, even when he played today, from what I was reading, a lot of Arsenal fans were pretty surprised to see how well he did, despite of how, you know, overall as a team, Östersund didn't play to the likes of Arsenal. He's definitely somebody to watch. He's somebody that every Iranian fan is excited, you know, because it's always amazing when you hear, like, you know, a player from overseas, such as someone who grew up in Sweden but decided to leave that country as his home country, as I like to say, to come back to Iran and, you know, excel there and basically being a motivational factor, you know. Another player that I would say that he left Iran from very young age, 18, and now he's 24 and he's made a name for himself in Netherlands. He's someone that if you just look up, and he's just been phenomenal. There's always debates right now in the Eredivisie that he's arguably the best player right now in the league, with the likes of Erving Lozano of PSV, is Alireza Cihanbakhsh. He's just been a phenomenal. He plays on the right for us, and he also plays on the right for AZ Alkmaar. And he's just been a role model. Somebody that a lot of pundits in Iran were shocked that he left basically from his hometown, Rash, to come to the Holland. And he's been such a motivational player because right now what he's doing, which is very interesting, is that he always, you know, tells people within Iran that, hey, you know, I did this, you know, I left the country to prove myself that I could perform at the highest level, that you guys also have the chance. And what's interesting is that so we have a lot of players that even Carlos Queiroz has motivated to leave the country. And as I mentioned before, like Kavirazai was another one that a lot of people in Iran were shocked that he left SLO, and now he's making. But in terms of for fan-wise, a neutral fan, if you guys are trying to watch Iran, definitely Alireza Cihanbakhsh and Saman Goros because of the way they play. And I'm very sure next year these two players are going to be playing for one of the toughest teams, whether that's in the Bundesliga or that's in the English Premier League or Serie A, doesn't matter. They're just with what they're doing right now for their, you know, beloved club team is just sensational.
I do have one more player question for you, and that's the question's at the goalkeeping position. Given the roster information that I have, the goalkeeper with the most caps is Tujji. The thing is, Hajiji right now is unattached to any club professionally at the moment, at least from my information. Does this hurt his chances to be the starting goalkeeper for the Iranian national team? Does Carlos Queiroz choose another option because this person is not playing right now? Or is he going to be definitely the goalkeeper of choice for the national team in the World Cup?
The goalkeeping situation right now for Iran is pretty abysmal. Very, very... very hard. Right now, the reason why Arias Ahaiegui wasn't starting was because our local goalkeeper that he's playing from last year, and that's when Carlos Queiroz pretty much called him on, but he's been, this year, I would say this season, he's had many blunders, a lot of howlers, I like to say, and he's not the best of quality. And but the issue with Arias Ahaiegui always comes, and I like to say to everyone, it doesn't matter how talented you are, hard work beats talent any time of the day. The issue we have right now with Arias Ahaiegui is his mentality. Well, but then again, because of the way the Swedish league is, the season just ended, you know, a couple, few months ago. And now he has another hard time finding a club because of his age, as I like to say, in terms of statistics and the league, he plays for SLR. So that's someone that I would say that will get called up. Another great friend of mine that his dad is, was dubbed the Eagle of Asia, Amir Abdelzadeh. You know, he's just, once Idris Ahaiegui to come back and be the starting goalkeeper. However, because he's out of form, you know, he doesn't have a club right now. Our best result right now is used to Bayern then. And I think
we predict this team moving forward. But actually, you know what? Yeah, I will ask you that. I mean, you know, one question I always want to ask all our guests is, you know, and I think for many people who really aren't familiar with the Iranian national team, who haven't seen, to expect from this team that we should pay attention, you know, especially in the big games against Spain, Portugal, and Morocco, you know, maybe their style of play or, you know, the way that they can really, you know, fascinate it. And for this World Cup, who is it? I mean, obviously you have a goalkeeper situation, but you know, if you had to pick one starting lineup for this Iranian national team in the World Cup, what is it? And of course, what's the thing to look out for this Iranian side?
Yeah, definitely watching Iran to what they have to, the way they're going to approach in Russia. They're going to play much, much more defensive. I would say the thing that will, you know, amaze a lot of people is simply the defensive work rate and, you know, the passion they show and the hunger. If you look at the success that Sir Alex Ferguson had, you know, in 2008, especially when they won the, you know, the league and, you know, the Champions League, it all came down to Carlos Queiroz's assistant coach because of how well he shaped up the team defensively. And he's doing the same thing. He's implementing the same thing with Iran. So when you watch Iranian national team, a lot of people would say that this team just, you can't score against them. And it's not because I would say it's because of the players we have on the field. It's just because of tactically and just the way he sets the team up, you know, that it really gets the best out of these players. You know, and there's a sense of harmony within this team that everybody wants to play for one, everybody wants to play for the badge. And I think that's something that when folks are watching Iran, they say, wow, there's a huge passion the way they play. And that went to the, and a perfect example would be the game we played against Argentina into the last World Cup. Because as I mentioned before, a lot of people were riding us up, but a lot of people were amazed that Iran potentially was about to win that match with the counter-attacking style of game. So Iran definitely is going to play a counter-attacking style of game against the likes of Portugal and Spain. They're going to be much more open against Morocco. And another key mentioned thing I do want to state is that obviously on set pieces, I would say Iran has been spectacular throughout the qualifying. So I think that's something that is definitely a threat for teams such as Portugal and Spain. Because I think if we do want to nick a point out of them, that's where they gonna, that's where it's gonna happen. Probably more on a set piece. It's tough to predict the lineup, but just hypothetically, I'll just say it. I would say right now on paper in goal it would be Bayron Vant. Our right back will be Ramin Rezaian. He plays right now for a team in Belgium, Usedorov. And, you know, that also came down to Carlos Queiroz motivating him to leave Paris Police and join this club. Our veteran, Jadal Hosseini, arguably one of the greatest all-time central defenders. He'll be partnering alongside Mortiza Pouralegenci. Mortiza Pouralegenci plays for Al Sadd. Al Sadd is one of the best teams in Qatar, and as the notable, the legend, as I like to say, Javi Hernandez plays in this team, and that's one of the big motivating factors, is the reason why he joined this team. Our left back that many people consider the best Asian left back in the qualifiers is Milad Mohammadi. He plays for a Russian team. I'm going to pronounce it wrong, unfortunately. It was Teres Guznai, and he's been vital for us. I think right now, for me right now, he's the best Iranian player in my eyes because of just how consistent he's been. We have this young Iranian talent that was playing for the Atleticos U team before he moved to Rostov. And now he's on loan to another team. But unfortunately, he won't play against Morocco because of a suspension against Syria. The last match we had in the quality is at Saeed Ezatollahi. He'll be probably partnering up with Ehsan Haidsafi, another player that right now plays with Karim Ansari Fan, Olympiakos in the center midfield. So this is a 4-2-3-1, by the way, guys. So on the right wing, then we'll have Adir Jahanbakhsh. as I mentioned before, because of how well he's doing right now in the Dutch league. He's definitely has secured himself that spot. But then there's always a debate about where Salomon Gudus is going to fit into this team, because right now a lot of fans are curious where exactly his position style is going to be. So right now on paper, I would say it's still going to be Adrian Jambach securing the right wing spot. And number 10 role is Ashkan Adejoga, but unfortunately he's injured. So I would say right now maybe he probably won't be playing against that, because he's going to be out for a long, long time, because he just recently picked up a injury for Nottingham Forest. And he was a player like Ayza Hayri that he was pretty much clubless for a long, long time. And going back to Salomon Gudus, he's a player that actually grew up in Germany. And so he played for the U17, U19, and U23, if I'm not mistaken, of Germany, with the likes of Mesut Ozil, Jerome Boateng, and, you know, even Bastian Schweinsteiger at one point. And so he would predominantly play the number 10 and he's our captain. But I would say that because of the injury, he won't play. So I would say that it's probably going to be Salomon Gudus not playing as a 10. And the left wing, I would say Taremi. One thing that Carlos Queiroz has liked about Taremi is just more using him as the left wing because of his physicality and just of his positional way as an inside forward. Which he's been lethal doing that, even for his beloved club, Paris Police, at the time before he moved to Qatar. And up top, definitely Saadar Ozmoun. He's just a sensational player. And he's basically the brains, as I like to say, up top, that basically gels all these front four together. So on paper, definitely a 4-2-3-1. But against the likes of Portugal and Spain, I would say that it's much, much, much more defensive. So maybe like a 5-4-1 or something like that.
Okay. Now, looking forward to this particular World Cup, what I want to ask you is, in terms of the heels of the 2014 World Cup, where they really only managed one goal in the competition, right, what would be considered a success this time around, especially given the difficult group that they're in with Morocco, Spain, and Portugal? What's a successful World Cup look like for the Iranian national team?
I would say the success would be to basically show the world a different, you know, respect. Honestly, I think that it all comes down to that. I think the successful thing is that if our players play so well, and you have the likes of these scouts from some of the best teams in the world, that even despite the fact that if we don't qualify to the next round, but they have the opportunity to go to a higher, better team and then excel there, because the Asian 2019 Cup is coming, and Iran hasn't won that in approximately, I would say, more than 40 years. I think last time they won it was 1976. So it goes on to show you that if our players, if they excel really well, and it will be a success because they could go to the likes of, you know, higher league teams, and then that would just motivate them more to do well for the Asian Cup. But in terms of, I would say that just on a general basis, I would say just the fact that, basically, Not what happened to Saudi Arabia against Germany back in the 2002 World Cup, something like that, like getting absolutely demolished. But I would say just more of the fact that just giving that respect, because I feel like in the last World Cup, the countries such as even Nigeria and Argentina, especially with the managers they had at the time, they gave Iran a lot of respect, because if they even mentioned it, that they would not expect Iran to be showing that much hunger. And I think as an Iranian fan, just to be part of this historical event again, and just being part of it is already an achievement by itself. But obviously, if we somehow, some shape or form qualify to the next round, it's something that I think will go down, obviously, for Carlos Queiroz, another significant part of his history, that the first ever Iranian manager to get it onto the second round. But I think it's more about the foundation, more about the future, you know, of these players, and for them to get more of an experience for the next tournament that is coming for the Asian Cup. I think that's more of a success if we show ourselves to the world that, hey, Iran does have talent and these players could play for some of the toughest teams. I think, generally speaking, that's the success of it, because, as I said, because of political sanctions on Iran, and because of the corruption within the country, and because we can't play some of the best teams in the world when we should. So just to have the likes of Portugal and Spain playing against us by itself is an achievement on its own.
Now let's live the impossible dream for a minute, because I like where this has gone with the political sanctions and that kind of concept with Iran. Mm-hmm. In the event that Iran does the impossible and actually wins this World Cup, what kind of doors, first, what is the reaction of the people of Iran, but what kind of doors does this open for the Iranian national team moving forward if they do achieve that, or even more specifically, let's say they get out of this group, they manage to move into, let's say, the quarterfinals and are the magical Costa Rica of last year. What does that do for the Iranian side in the world football eyes moving forward?
It'll be something sensational, because that will just open the eyes to the world that a lot of for the clubs that, hey, maybe we should look more into not only just Asian teams in general, but more specifically look into Iran, because they have the talent, you know. Mm-hmm. I think Iran, one of the big issues with Iran is that because of, you know, as I say, with the politics and stuff like that, it's a country that doesn't really look as much into, you know. And so we have to really rely on our players trying to make a name for themselves. And I think if the way that Carlos Kirchner has done and motivated these players to play in Europe has basically given them a foundation. So in terms of, just as I said, even when Sardar Osman was playing for Rostov, his name pretty much became huge. I mean, he was already a star in Asian football, but I think he became just a world name because of how well he did against the likes of Bayern Munich and Atletico Madrid in the Champions League of last year. And so this will show, you know, whoever it is, whether that's in the media, whether that's a scout, whether that's a sporting director of the club, that, listen, Iran has the talent. It's just a matter of fact that how do we, you know, take these players from leaving, you know, Iran and motivating them to leave? Because Iranians, the issue with Iranians is that we're very attached to our families and stuff. And so, and one of the big issue that Iranian players have is that they're worried that if they leave that, they might, their career might fail. And because of the how much money these clubs have to just make the players stay, I think that's one of the big issues was, but I think that in terms of clubs start seeing Iran as a potential hub for future, you know, investment to get these players to come out of the country and, you know, excel their team, I definitely think that's something that every fan will take into heart, and that's something that I think every club within Iran will be motivating these players to do that. And I think with these sanctions, that's one of the reasons why a lot of, you know, politics that happens is because, you know, it just looks down upon, you know, Iran. I think that's why it's a beautiful story with the amount of, you know, hard work that Carlos Kirchner has done with all these, you know, difficulties, you know, to get Iran to where it's be. The issue is everybody looks everything on paper, but nobody actually looks to the, you know, the background of Iran, or, you know, different. Every country has a story to tell, and Iran's story to get it how this far, how we've come, it's absolutely sensational. Because if Iran didn't have these issues, I'll be promised you, I'll mark my words, Iran would have been a top 20 country easily. But that's just from my own perspective.
No, I definitely understand, especially when a country's hands are tied, it's difficult to progress the sport and progress the player. But it looks like maybe they're making the turn here. They're getting some of those players out, and hopefully the language barrier doesn't hold them back so that you get more of these players moving out. And you could see where we see a lot of African players moving into Europe and progressing, mm-hmm. and what it's done for many of these African nations. Maybe we start to see a lot of these Middle Eastern nations, the Iraqs, the Irans, the Afghanistans, where it develops the sport in that country, because those countries are also soccer crazy. And we see a development of players and sport in general there, and really make it more of the global game that everyone hopes it is. So, Pasha, I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. Rob, I also want to thank you for joining us and helping us break down Iran as they journey on to Russia in the 2018 World Cup. This was the Iran World Cup preview on This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, and good night.